Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Perek Nun Gimel. We're holding in the middle of the Perek. We're talking about Lashon Hara, different cases of Lashon Hara that we find in Tanakh. So tonight we're going to speak about the story of Miriam and Aaron speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. And then from that we're going to go on a tangent about different people who are called Cushi in Tanakh. And then we'll speak about the story of Avshalom until the end of the Perek. Okay, so that's the Medrash. We know the story in Parshas Behaleischa. This is the second story that we bring in this parak from Parshas Behaleischa. It says, "Vatadaber Miriam ve'Aaron b'Moshe al oidos hakushi shelokach ki shachushis lokach." Miriam and Aaron spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu, specifically about the Cushite woman that he married, because he married a Cushite woman. Okay? So the Medrash assumes that Cushite woman that we're talking about, Isha Cushis, it's talking about Tzipora. So the Medrash asks, "V'chi Cushis ha'isa? Was she a Cushis?" And there's even a Gersa that says, "V'haloi Tzipora ha'isa? Wasn't she Tzipora? And Tzipora Pashtus is not a Cushis." We'll speak about why in a moment. Ella, rather, why is Tzipora called a Cushis? Ma ha'Cushi hazeh mishuna ba'oiroi kach ha'isa Tzipora mishuna b'maiseha ha'toivim. Just like a Cushi, meaning an Ethiopian or a black person, a dark-skinned person, is outstanding in terms of his skin color, meaning he looks different than everyone else because of his skin color, so too Tzipora, the wife of Moshe Rabbeinu, was outstanding in terms of her good deeds. She was different than everyone else in a positive way, that she did better things than everyone else. She did good deeds, not like everyone else, so she's considered Mishuna as well. Mishuna means outstanding or different or weird, but that's the pashas. Therefore, Nikris Cushis. Therefore, she's called a Cushis. Shenamar Kisha Cushis Lach. He had married a Cushis woman. And that's what it says in the pasuk. But so what's the assumption over here? I mean, first of all, we're making an assumption that the Isha Cushis that the pasuk is talking about is a reference to Tzipora. Right? That itself is not pashit. There's another tradition that says that it's talking about literally the wife of the Cushite king that Moshe Rabbeinu married when he ran away to Africa and he was king over there for 40 years. That's a whole story brought down in a sefer called Divrei Yamim Shel Moshe Rabbeinu. It's also brought in the sefer Yashar. And there's Rishonim that go with that mahalach. I think the Rashbam says like that. Other Rishonim, they go with that whole mahalach. But Chazal understand that no, it's talking about Tzipora. We only find in the Psukim explicitly that Moshe Rabbeinu has one wife and that is Tzipora. So we're assuming that we're talking about Tzipora. And the question is, was Tzipora Cushis? The Medrash understands she wasn't a Cushis. Why not? Why can't we just say that she was a Cushis? And what was the problem? And what was the Lashon Hara that they were saying about Moshe Rabbeinu Bechal? So first of all, like this, who was Tzipora's father?
Yisro.
Very good.
No.
Right?
Ruah.
No, Chever. No, Chovav. No, yes, sir. No, whatever his name was, right? Kaney. Kaney.
Kaney.
Right? Those are the seven names.
Is it
Kenneth? Right.
No, right? Those,
yeah.
No, he's not.
Yeah. So what? We know that Yisrael lived in Midian, right? And if Yisrael lived in Midian, and you would assume that Yisrael was a Midianite, that would mean that Yisrael is not a Cushi. On the contrary, Yisrael would be a descendant of Avraham Avinu, because yeah. Midian is one of Avraham Avinu's sons. One second, right? And Avraham and Keturah had a bunch of sons, and one of those sons was named Midian. So if Yisrael was a Midiani, he'd be a descendant of Avraham Avinu, right? And if you say that Keturah is from Bnei Yefes, right, there's a Medrash that says, at least Seder Daris brings from Shalshal Sokabal, that Avraham Avinu had three wives, Sarah, Hagar, and Keturah. He's going with the Mahalach that Hagar and Keturah are not the same person. So Sarah is from Bnei Shem, Hagar is from Bnei Cham, and Keturah is from Bnei Yefes. Right? So if Keturah is from Bnei Yefes, so the descendants of Keturah, Midian, are not Bechlal, no Shaykhs to Cham. They're Bnei Yefes. They're Bnei Shem and Yefes married together. So if Yisrael is from Midian and Tzipora is Yisrael's daughter, so how can we? What? Of course, yes, Tzipora is not a Cushi, right? So that's what the Medrash is saying. Oh, Cushis, right? Yeah, what did you want to say?
Someone showed me the Gemara, it seems very obvious that this is Benach Ben from Mitzrayim, Ben Chom. He was actually an Egyptian. He moved to Midian because probably wanted to kill him after he.
So there's a Gemara that says Shleisha Hayu Ba'isa Eitz, right? Paro had three advisors: Eov, Yisroel, and Bilam, right? So that would that the Maskil of David, that's Rav David Paro and Chumash. So the Maskil of David says that even if you want to say like that Gemara that Yisroel was originally an advisor of Paro, which doesn't say that Yisroel is, let's say, a descendant of Chum, but implies it. Yeah?
No, there it says the names are from Chum until Yisrael, Ben Achabin.
Well, where?
I don't remember where, the son, but...
The Gemara doesn't say that.
No, he showed me somewhere else, Barnstock or something. I don't know, he opened up a Zephyr to connect that Gemara.
It could be, I don't know. The Gemara just says that Yisrael was originally one of Pyro's advisors, which the Maskil of David says, even in Tunt Salarim, you'll say that it's Masher from that he was like from B'nai Chum, but for sure not B'nai Kush, you would say maybe he's from Mitzrayim, right? Chum had a bunch of sons. Kush, Mitzrayim, Put, and Canaan, right? So Kush is a different son of Chum. So even if you'll say that Yisro was a Mitzri, that doesn't mean that he's a descendant of Kush. He's not a Kushi, he's a Mitzri, which is a different...
No, but Mitzrayim were black also, it doesn't ask you that they're dark, right?
Yeah.
Mashmashmuji means that he is dark. It doesn't mean he came from Kush.
Oh, so that's what the Ibn Ezra and the Barbanel say. The Ibn Ezra and the Barbanel say why, like they're going to Pasha Pshat and the Pasuk, right? Why is Sipara called the Kushis? Right? So they say, you know, obviously it's not because of her lineage, as we proved Yisrael was a Midianite or whatever, so why is Sipara called the Kushis? So they say Pasha Pshat because she looked like a Kushis. She had dark skin. And the Barbanel says because the descendants of Midian, they live outside in the sun, they dwell in tents, so because of that he says that their skin is burnt.
And Rashi says it.
Rashi says it.
Hushit. Id shehakol hodim. Biyafya, Kishin Jahakol,
Modim,
Honadim, Bishkorato, Shokushi.
That's
what Rashi's saying.
It's obvious that she was black.
No, that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says that it's obvious that she was such a tzaddik, that she was so beautiful, just like it's obvious that a black person is black. Yeah, that's what Rashi says.
That a Kushi is black.
Yeah,
like
right. Fine. Oh, I thought you were saying that Rashi says like the Barbanel.
It's mashma that he means a Kushi is that way because it's black.
Fine.
I thought you were saying that Rashi is saying that it's black.
Fine, but Rashi's not saying that she's called a Kushi because she was black.
Everyone
agrees that she's beautiful, just like everyone agrees that a black person is black. That's all that Rashi says. They're saying that she herself was black. That's why she's called Kushi. Rashi is saying a Drush. You know, why is she called Kushi? Because she's similar to a black person. How is she similar to a black person? Well, just like everyone agrees that a black person is black, everyone agrees that she was beautiful.
You're right.
That's what Rashi's saying.
I don't think it's a contradiction. It could be Rashi agrees that she was black, but he's trying to bring another point. In addition to that, she was also a very good tzaddik. Just like everyone would say, Shvatz is black.
It could be, but that's not what Rashi said. He doesn't say it.
Yeah, he doesn't say it. It's not a contradiction. He doesn't say that she wasn't.
Yeah, it's true.
So you could put together.
Yeah, you could. You could.
And I don't remember where that sefer. I have to ask the one stuff where it was. You know, in the Jinji. He showed me 10 generations from Chum to Israel.
Okay. Well, so we'll have to see it inside.
Because he's from Mitzrayim.
Yeah. The Pirush Rekach of Torah says that. That Pashup Shad is no, really she was a descendant of Cush. Her father Yisrael was a Midianite. Yeah, that was her father, but her mother was a descendant of Cush. So that's why she's called Cushis. But our Medrash rejects all of these explanations and says no, she's called Cushis for a different reason, and we make a whole Drush that says just like a Cushi is Mishuna Ba'irai, Tzipor is Mishuna B'maisei Toivim. And with this, the Radal wants to say that what was the Lashon Hara that they said against Moshe Rabbeinu, that Miriam and Aaron said against Moshe? So the Lashon Hara is that she's such a good person. She's Maisal Taivim. She does good deeds. And yet, Moshe Rabbeinu, for some reason, decided to distance himself from her, to separate from her, etc. So they were saying, like, why is Moshe Rabbeinu separating from her if she does such good things? And then and the Radal says that that's the pshat of the pasuk. How do you understand the pasuk? It's Daber Miriam Ve'Aron B'Moshe Aloydeus L'Kushis Asher Lakach Ki Isha Chushis Lakach. What do these words mean? Ki Isha Chushis Lakach. Because he took an Isha Chushis. What does that mean? Who's saying that, those words? Pashup Shat, you would read it, it's sort of the narrator of the Torah, the Hashem, whatever, is saying those words. Because I'm telling you that, by the way, Moshe Rabbeinu had married an Isha Chushis. Right? The Radal says that no, that's part of like the words of Miriam and Aaron against Moshe Rabbeinu. Kisha Kushis Lakach. He married an Isha Chushis. He married an outstanding woman. So why is he separating himself from her? Like that was the Lashon Hara that they said about him.
That's a Shemara.
Yeah.
Is Rashi saying similarly that she was both pretty and a tzedekes?
And a tzedekes.
That you sometimes you have beauty and not a tzedekes and something.
Yeah, fine, but the point is like she's such a good candidate to be his wife. Like what's wrong with them? You know, there's something suspicious maybe. That sort of like that was the Lashon Hara that they were saying against him. Other Rishonim have like a slightly different mahalach. The Rekeach and Rabbeinu Yehudah Chosid, they go with the Mahalach that the taina was that why did Moshe Rabbeinu just separate from her? Why wasn't he also Megarish her? He should have given her a get. Right? He just separated from her, he abstained from her, but then now like she can't get married because she's still technically married to him. So like that was the taina on Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, whatever.
Didn't she go home?
Yeah, no, she went home, she came back. Whatever, it's a whole. By Matan Torah, she came back. It's a shiloh if Yisro came before Matan Torah or after Matan Torah, but for sure, you know, by that time already she was back. Okay, that was just for you because I know we wouldn't be able to get away talking about this without getting a little bit deeper into it. Fine, now the Medrash is going to talk about other people in Tanakh who are called a Kushi, and then and Darshan the same way, sort of. Rabbi Tanchum Oimer. Rabbi Tanchum says, the Gersa in the manuscript says, Rabbi Tachna Oimer. A different name of a Tana named Rabbi Tachna, not Rabbi Tanchum. So he says like this, Af Yisroel nekru Kushim. Bnei Yisroel are also called Kushim. Shedemar, it says in the Pasuk, Haloi kivnei Kushim atem li. Are you not like Bnei Kushim to me? That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about Bnei Yisroel. This is a Haftarah for Achrayim is Kedoshim, one of those two parashas, I remember. V'chi Kushim hayu? Were Bnei Yisrael Kushim? Do you have that Gersa? By Pomerantz. So you don't have the Gersa of V'chi Kushim hayu. My Gersa says like this. Halak Bnei Kushim atem li. That's the pasuk. Are you not like Bnei Kushim for me? That's what Hashem says. And then the Medrash asks, V'chi Kushim hayu? Were Bnei Yisrael Kushim? Ella, rather, and this is what you have, this is the continuation, Maha Kushi Hazeh, just like this Kushi, and I have the word Gufoy, I don't know if you have the word Gufoy. Gufoy, Mishunim, we call it Brias, his body is different from all other creations. Kach Yisrael, Mishunim, Bedarcheihem, so to the Jews are different. So to the Jews are different in their paths, of a Maaseihem, HaTovim, and in their good deeds, we call Umas Oilam from all the nations of the world because they do good things. The Kach Nikru Kushim, because therefore the Jews are also called Kushim because they're outstanding. Right? That's the Gersa that I have. The Medrash asks, V'chi Kushim Hayu. Right? You don't have the Gersa of V'chi Kushim Hayu, and neither did Rabbi Yo Izmir. And he asks, why doesn't it say V'chi Kushim Hayu just like it says by all the other people that we're going to talk about? Right? Like by Tzipor said, V'chi Kushis Hayu Sa. And here we didn't say b'chi kushim hayu. Are they kushim rhetorically? So Rabbi Leo Meizmer says that because the pasuk doesn't say that doesn't call them kushim. It's not a metaphor. It's a simile. Right? What's the difference between a metaphor and a simile? A metaphor is if I say you are sunshine, right? I'm saying you are a sunshine. I don't really literally mean that you are a sunshine. I'm comparing you to a sunshine without using the word like or as. I'm saying you are as if you are, but I don't literally mean it. That's a metaphor. A simile is where I say, you are like the sunshine. You are as radiant as the sunshine. I use words like or as, which shows that you're just making a comparison. That's a simile. So over here, the pasuk doesn't use a metaphor. It doesn't say, B'nei Yisrael are kushim. It doesn't say that. It says, Haloi kevnei kushim atemli. You are like kushim. You are like B'nei Kushim. So because the pasuk uses a simile and not a metaphor, so the medrash doesn't have to say, oh, are they really kushim? Because it didn't say they're really kushim. It says they're like kushim. And then we made the drush that why are B'nai Yisrael like kushim? Because just like a kushi is outstanding in terms of the color of his skin, so B'nai Yisrael are outstanding in terms of their good deeds. Weiter. What? Okay. So the next one is a story. It's a story in Sefer Yirmiyah. In Sefer Yirmiyah, basically what happens is that people are opposed to the prophecies of Yirmiyahu and Navi, because he's giving prophecies of doom and trying to tell people to do tshuva, and people never like hearing that stuff. And it ended up that they took Yirmiyahu and Navi and they threw him in a pit. Maybe that means that they threw him in jail, I'm not sure. But they threw him in a pit, right? And they left him in a pit. And this somebody found out about this, that Yirmiyahu was thrown into a pit. And he went and told the king of Yehuda, his name was Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, he was the last king of Yehuda, and they went and they told him, and they said, how could you leave Yirmiyahu in a pit, he's going to die, he doesn't have any food or whatever, and Tzidkiyahu said, you know, you're right, and he helped, and he took it, and he ordered them to take Yirmiyahu out of this deep pit. That's the story, basically. So who is this guy that heard about it and told Tzidkiyahu HaMelech that Yirmiyahu is in a pit? So the pasuk says, "Kosuvach aleimer." It says in one pasuk, "Vayishma eved melech hakushi." A person. This is the pasuk way of reading the pasuk. A person named Eved Melech Hakushi heard about this, and he told Tzidkiyahu. Meaning, his name is Eved Melech. That's what the Radak says. In you don't see it here, but if you had it with like Nekudos and Tamim, you would see that the word Eved Melech is hyphenated. It's like one word, Eved Melech. His name is Eved Melech. And in archaeology, the archaeologists found the name Eved Melech was a very popular name in the ancient Near East. Eved Melech. It's a Semitic name. So this guy named Eved Melech, who was a Kushi, he heard. That's Pasha Pshat. How do you read it? Yeah. Now, the Mari Kora, who was a Talmud of Rashi, a Talmud of whatever, he lived maybe the same time as Rashi, Talmud of Rashi, whatever, he brings a slightly different Pshatim. And we'll see what he says in a moment. Let's see what our medrash says over here first. Vayishma Eved Melech HaKushi. Eved Melech HaKushi heard. Says the medrash. V'chi Eved Kushi Haya? Was this Eved? Let's translate it. What does Eved Melech HaKushi mean? Let's say it's not a name, right? Eved Melech HaKushi, the slave, the king, the Kushite, the slave of. That's you could translate it as the Kushite slave of a king, or you could translate it as the slave of a Kushite king.
I can be the slave of the king of a king who is a Kushite.
Who is a
Kushite? Yeah, still.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You could That was the first thing. I was just like I switched the order to clarify who's who. Right? Who's the Kushi? The slave or the king? Right? That's the Shaila. So our Medrash assumes that the Kushi is going on the slave. V'chi Eved Kushi Hayo? Was the Eved, was the slave a Kushi? V'haloi Baruch Ben Neria Hayo? Was it not Baruch Ben Neria? Who's Baruch Ben Neria? Is the Talmud of Yirmiyahu Navi. He was not necessarily on the Darga of being Mamish a Navi, that his writings were incorporated in Tanakh. There is an apocryphal book that the Christians have called the Book of Baruch, which they claim was written by Baruch, the Talmud of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. But Baruch was a big person, a big Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says that Ezra HaSofer was a student of Baruch Ben Neria. Right, the Gemara in Megillah says that that's why Ezra didn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael right away, because his Rebbe Baruch Ben Neria was still alive and he still wanted to learn from him. Baruch Ben Neria was the Talmud of Yirmiyah and the Rebbe of Ezra HaSofer, right? So we're saying that this Eved Kushi, this Kushite slave, It wasn't Stam a Cushite slave who heard that Yirmiyahu was thrown into a pit and he told the king about it. He was Baruch Ben Neriah. So why is Baruch Ben Neriah called a Cushite slave? Just like a Cushi is outstanding in his in the color of his skin, so too Baruch Ben Neriah was outstanding in terms of the good deeds that he did. He stood out amongst people, and he was known for being a very good a person who did a lot of good deeds. So Medrash says that this Eben Melech HaKushi is talking about Baruch Ben Neriah. Fine. So our Medrash seems to understand that Eved Melech HaKushi means the slave of the king, and that slave was a Cushi, like Rabbi Pomerantz was reading the pasuk. Right? Now, the emes is there's another way to read the pasuk. You could read it as Eved Melech HaKushi, the slave of the Cushite king. Right? And who's the Cushite? Not the slave, but the king. And that's how Chazal understand it in the Gemara in Ma'id Katan. The Gemara in Ma'id Katan is similar to our Gemara over here, where it darshans different people who are called Cushi. And the Gemara says, who is Melech HaKushi? Who's this Cushite king? That's a reference to Tzidkiyahu. Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, the last king of Yehuda, who, like his name is Mashma, he was a tzaddik. Tzidkiyahu is a tzaddik. And therefore, he's called a Cushite king, because just like a Cushi is outstanding in terms of the color of his skin, so too Tzidkiyahu was outstanding in terms of his good deeds. So the Gemara explains that Melech HaKushi is talking about Tzidkiyahu, not talking about Baruch Ben Neriah. That's how the Gemara reads the pasuk. The truth is that if you look in the pasukim in Sefer Melachim, you'll see that it says in the pasuk that Tzidkiyahu, Melech Yehuda, it says Vayas HaRabe Eini Hashem. He did evil in the eyes of Hashem. So how could the Gemara say that he's a good person?
Doesn't mean literally he did the bad.
Chazal tell us that it doesn't literally mean that he did evil in the eyes of Hashem. He was really a big tzaddik. The Sanhedrin says that his generation did evil in the eyes of Hashem, but he himself was a tzaddik, etc. Right? That's the mahalach. The truth is, though, that there's actually machlokes in Chazal how to look at Tzidkiyahu. There are sources like the Gemara in Ma'id Katan that seem to say that Tzidkiyahu was a tzaddik, and there are other sources that seem to group Tzidkiyahu with the evil kings of Malchi Yehuda, that Tzidkiyahu was not a tzaddik. He was, like the pasuk says, Vayasa Rabbe Eini Hashem. Right? So the Radal says that our Medrash darshins the pasuk of Eved Melech HaKushi that is talking about Baruch Ben Neriah as opposed to talking about Tzidkiyahu, because our Medrash understands that Tzidkiyahu was not a tzaddik. Meaning it's a machlokes between the Gemara and Pirkei d'Eliezer, was Tzidkiyahu a tzaddik? The Gemara says Tzidkiyahu was a tzaddik, and Cushi is talking about Tzidkiyahu. And Pirkei d'Eliezer says no, Tzidkiyahu was not a tzaddik, and Cushi has to be talking about somebody else, and we're talking about Baruch Ben Neriah. That's what the Radal wants to say. Okay. You could speak a lot. There's a lot to say about was Tzidkiyahu a tzaddik, was he not a tzaddik. There's a few. There's stiras and rashis in different places. There's a Prashas Drachim, which is a sefer in Drush written by the Mishnah Lamelech in Drush Chaf Beis. He wants to say that now everyone agrees that really Tzidkiyahu was a tzaddik, and the sources that seem to say that he was not a tzaddik is only because he didn't protest the averas of other people, so it's as if he sort of did them. But he himself didn't really do averas. So you can certainly learn it like that. If you learn it like that, so then there's no reason to say why our Medrash holds that he's not a tzaddik. You don't see explicitly that he's not a tzaddik. We happen to be touching the pasuk on somebody else, not on him. But so the point is that the Radak understood Pashat Pshat in the pasuk is Eved Melech is a name, and Eved Melech HaKushi means Eved Melech the Cushite. Right? That's the Radak Mahalach. Chazal understand that no, Eved Melech is not necessarily a name, it's a description of a person. And HaKushi, it's a Shalif. HaKushi is going on Melech or it's going on Eved. And that's sort of the machlokes between Pirkei d'Eliezer and the Gemara. But the problem is that, sort of grammatically, it's a little bit problematic because Let's say it's talking about the, let's say you're like the Gemara, right? That it's talking about Tzidkiyahu. So then it should say Vayishma Eved HaMelech HaKushi. Grammatically, it should say HaMelech HaKushi, right? And even if it's going on the Eved, it should say Vayishma HaEved Vayishma HaEved Melech. Vayishma Eved HaMelech HaKushi. It should also say HaMelech. Both ways. So I'm not sure exactly what to do with that ha'ara, but Lamaisa, I saw in the manuscript of Pirkei Deblias in the Higger edition, it says Vayishma Eved HaMelech HaKushi. He has a different gersa in the pasuk. I don't know what that means, because what do you mean gersa in a pasuk? It's a pasuk is a pasuk. It's like tzarich in what that means. It could be it's a mistake. It could be somebody added it just to clarify the drush that we're making over here. I'm not sure exactly what it means. Now the Mari Kra, who I mentioned before, was the Talmud of Rashi. So the Mari Kra, in his commentary to Yirmiyahu, he brings in the name of his uncle. His uncle's name is Reb Nachem ben Reb Chelboy. His uncle sort of makes a blend of the Gemara's pshat and Pirkei Deblezer's pshat. Reb Nachem ben Reb Chelboy says that when it says Eved Melech HaKushi, so it's saying, who's the Eved? So the Eved is Baruch ben Neria, which that's what Pirkei Deblezer says. But the word Kushi is going back on the Melech. It's going back on the king, which is Tzidkiyahu. And why is Tzidkiyahu called the Kushi? That he learns like the Gemara. So it's sort of a mixture of Pirkei Deblezer saying that Eved is Baruch ben Neria, but Kushi is going on the Melech, which is Tzidkiyahu, and then he goes like the Gemara that Tzidkiyahu is called the Kushi because he was outstanding in terms of his deeds. That's what the Mari Kar brings in the name of his uncle. Then he himself favors what he considers the Pashup Shat, is that Eved Melech HaKushi means that this person was a slave of the Kushite king. That this guy came from the land of Kush, and the king of the land of Kush for some reason sent his slave to Eretz Yisrael, and for some reason this slave knew about Yirmiyahu and knew that Yirmiyahu was put in jail, and he's the one who told Tzidkiyahu. The word Melech is not even talking about Tzidkiyahu, according to that pshat in the Mari Kar, which is, it's an interesting pshat. You have to know exactly. There's a few holes in the pshat, like why did King of Kush send this guy, and like how does this guy know Yirmiyahu, whatever. That's his pshat. Fine. Right. Well,
but it seems to just make more sense to say there was an Eved of the king who was a Kushite, some random guy, and we don't know who the king was.
Which king?
We don't know. That's the thing. Eved Melech. He was Eved
Melech. For some generic.
It was a Kushite. Yeah, generic.
King. Not a Jewish king. A Jewish king doesn't matter.
I don't know.
Could be.
And just this lowly person.
This lowly person. The whole point was that a lowly person gave Tzidkiyahu Musar for allowing Yirmiyahu to be thrown into the bar. It could be. Fine, now the next story is like this. This is a story in Sefer Shmuel Beis that we might be familiar with, the story of Avshalom. Avshalom was a son of David HaMelech, and he decided to rebel against his father and become king on his own. And there was a fight, a war, so to speak, a civil war between David HaMelech and his army, and Avshalom and his army. Right? And they're fighting this whole war. And David HaMelech gives the command. He says, you find Avshalom, bring him to me. Didn't say dead or alive. He said, bring him to me, I want him alive. Don't kill him. Right? Because he was his son. Even though he was rebelling against him, and Mori B'Malchus is Chayim Misa, but David HaMelech did not want them to kill Avshalom. And the story goes that they were out in war or whatever, and this guy comes and he goes to Yoav ben Tsruya, who was David HaMelech's general, and he comes to Yoav and he tells Yoav, look, I saw Avshalom. And so where'd you see him? Let's go, we gotta go. He says, I saw him, he got stuck, his hair got stuck in a tree, and he's dangling over there in a tree. And Yoav says, so why didn't you kill him? So the guy answers back and says, kill him? Chas l'shom, I can't kill him. even if you give me all the money in the world, I would never kill him. The king said, you're not allowed to kill him. He said, bring him to me alive. I would never kill him. And Yoav said, okay, where is he? Show me. And the guy shows Yoav where Avshalom is there, hanging it with his hair. And Avshalom brings Yoav brings 10 men, and they surround him, and they shoot arrows at him, and they kill him. Right? So they killed Avshalom. That's more or less the story, right? Then what happens? So now so that's it. Now the war is over, right? David and Melech won, basically, right? The rebellion is squashed. Right? Now the question is, okay, who's going to break the news to David and Melech? So there was a guy named Achimelech, I think was his name. Achimoatz ben Sodik. Right? So he's like, oh, I'll go bring David and Melech the good news. Right? Because the way it worked in the ancient world was like, if you brought the king good news, so then, you know, you get a lot of rewards. If you bring the king bad news, then, you know, the opposite might happen. So this guy, Achimoatz ben Sodik, wanted to bring David and Melech the good news. But then they told him, like, maybe it's not such a good idea because, you know, his son was killed and he won't really be so happy. So what does he do? So he says like this. So Yoav goes and he tells this other guy, who happens to be a Cushi, he goes and he tells this Cushi, he says, you go tell David and Melech that his son was killed. Fine. What? Then Achimoaz, he runs ahead, he gets to David and Melech, and then he tells basically David and Melech, oh, we have good news. So what's the good news? Oh, you won the rebellion. Oh, very good. And what about my son Avshalom? What happened to him? So Achimat says, I don't know. It was in the fog of war. I didn't see exactly what happened. I'm not sure exactly what happened. All I know is that we won. Then the Cushi guy comes, and David Melech asks the Cushi guy, oh, what happened? So he says, oh, basically he tells him that Avshalom ended up getting killed, and David Melech gets very sad, and he starts crying and eulogizing Avshalom and whatever. That's the story. So this Cushi guy, the second guy who told David HaMelech the report, this second guy who told him that Avshalom was killed, so the Medrash over here is going to focus a little bit about him and Darshan Apostle. Kasav Echad Aymer. One Apostle says, V'yomer Yoav l'Kushi. Yoav said to the Cushi, Leich Hageid l'Melech. Go tell the king. And the Medrash is bothered by a question. V'chi Cushi Haya? Was he really a Cushi? V'haloi Ben Yamini Haya, wasn't he from Shevet Binyamin? Well, where did that come from? Shevet Binyamin, what are we talking about? What? This Cushi.
Which one?
The Cushi. Yeah. The Cushi who told David HaMelech that Avshalom was killed.
Yeah.
Right, so the Gemara says, the Medrash says, V'chi Cushi Haya, was he a Cushi? V'aloi Ben Yamini Haya, wasn't he from Shevet Binyamin? Mm-hmm. Where are we getting that from? That he was from Shevet Binyamin. We'll speak about it in a moment. But the Radah has a different girsa. V'alo Yisraeli haya. You have that girsa?
Yeah, at the bottom.
Oh, so Yisraeli v'alo Yisraeli haya. So let's go with that mahalach. V'alo Yisraeli haya. Wasn't this Cushi Jewish? He wasn't a Cushi. He was Jew. So why is he called a Cushi? That guy that brought the news to David Melech. Ella ma haKushi hazeh gufay mishuna mikol abriyos. Rather, just like a Cushi is different, outstanding, his body is different than everyone else because he has a darker skin. So too this Cushi guy who told David HaMelech that Avshalom was killed, he's different in terms of his good deeds and his good path more than from all the other Jews. He was such a good person, and that's why the Torah calls him a Cushi.
I think you remember someone explained that Itaka was a Gid.
What? Oh, so yeah, the Radak, you know, in Achanami, I didn't say this, but the Radak says Pashup Shah in the Pasuk is he's called a Cushi because he was a Ger, or the Radak says because he was dark skinned like a Cushi. Now that's what the Radak says, but Chazal are dashing it, why is he called a Cushi? Because he was outstanding in terms of his good deeds.
If he's from Binyamin, he obviously wasn't the Ger.
Right, that's also true. If he's from Binyamin, he obviously wasn't the Ger.
It can't be everything together.
Right, can't be everything together. The truth is like this, where are we coming from this thing that he was from Binyamin? Where does that come from? The girsa of V'chi Cushi Haya Haloi Ben Yamini Haya. It's like this, there's a pasuk in Sefer Tehillim, Perek Zayin. It says in the pasuk, Shigayon LeDavid Asher shor laHashem al divrei Kush ben Yemini. Shigayon lo David asher shor laHashem al divrei Kush ben Yemini. A song to David that he sang to Hashem about the matter of Kush ben Yemini. Right? That's the Pashup Shah Pasuk Tilim Perek Zayin Pasuk Aleph. So what's that talking about? Now, Chazal tell us, in the Gemara Ma'id Katan that I mentioned before, the Gemara says over there that Kush ben Yemini is actually talking about Shaul HaMelech. And why is Shaul HaMelech called Kush? Well, he's called Kush because he did good things, he did good deeds. Just like a Kushi is outstanding in terms of the color of his skin, so too Shaul HaMelech was outstanding in terms of the good deeds that he's done. That's what Gemara says. And ben Yemini, because we know a given is that Shaul HaMelech is from Shevet Binyamin, right? Shaul ben Kish Ishimini, right? So Shaul is from Shevet Binyamin. So that pasuk of Shigayon Medavin Asher Shaul Hashem al Divrei Kush ben Yemini is talking about Shaul HaMelech. That's what the Gemara says. Now, that's Kush ben Yemini. Right? Here we're talking about some Kushi, and we're assuming that he was ben Yemini. Right? So the Bais HaGadol sort of asks this question: like, where are we coming from to say that this Kushi that told David Melech about Avshalom being killed was a ben Yemini? Where's it coming from? So the Marzu answers the question like this: the Marzu says that our Medrash over here rejects the Gemara in Ma'id Katan. It says that no, the pasuk of Shigayon the David Asher Shar Hashem Al Divrei Kush Ben Yemini is not talking about Shaul HaMelech. It's talking about our story over here of this Kushi who told David and Melech about Avshalom being killed. So it's saying our Medrash rejects that Gemara. It's saying so the Marzul says that our Medrash over here is taking both psukim and explaining that both psukim are talking about this guy. Meaning the pasuk of Vayomer Yoav the Kushi Lech Hagid LaMelech, and the pasuk of Shigayon LaDavid Asher Shar LaHashem Al Divrei Kush Ben Yemini is all talking about one person. The Kush Ben Yemini is the same Kushi who told David HaMelech that Avshalom was killed. Right? And we're going to explain in the Hemshah, in the continuation of the Medrash, what were the good deeds that this guy did. We're going to illustrate the good deeds of this person. But the point is like this: when the guy first came to David HaMelech, and the Kushi told David HaMelech that Avshalom was killed in the war. So David HaMelech thought, the guy said it with like a certain zeal. He was like happy because he didn't realize that David HaMelech would be upset that Avshalom was killed. When he said it with that certain zeal, David HaMelech was automatically choshed that he's the guy that killed Avshalom. You're the guy who killed him. That's why. And the Medrash even says that David HaMelech like took out his sword and he was like ready to stab this guy. Right? This guy who gave him the news that Avshalom was killed. Right? So Marzu says that what happened? So on the spot, David HaMelech had a special Ruach HaKodesh that came to him, and he said this Mizmor of Tehillim Perek Zayin, Shigayon Lo David. Shigayon is Lashon Shgaga, a mistake. Shigayon Lo David. It was a mistake. David HaMelech, Hashem is telling him, David HaMelech, you're making a mistake. He's not the guy that killed Avshalom. Asher Shar Al Divrei Kush Ben Yemini. This guy, this Kush Ben Yemini, he's like a Yemini. He's like, you know, he doesn't say, but like Yeminim could mean like right-handed. He's like, he's a straight person. He's Kush, meaning he's outstanding in his good deeds, and he's Ben Yemini. He's a straight person. Right? Don't think that he's the one that killed Avshalom. He's not the guy that killed Avshalom. You're getting angry at the wrong guy. That's how the Marzu understands what's happening over here. Kush Ben Yemini. Stop. I was just this morning when I was thinking about this earlier. How do you know that it was Ruach HaKodesh? How do you know it wasn't Nevuah? How did the Marzu know it was Ruach HaKodesh and not Nevuah? Two things. First of all, David HaMelech is not a Navi. He's not one of the 48 Nevi'im that's listed. So we know that he wrote Tehillim with Ruach HaKodesh, so you can assume it's Ruach HaKodesh. The other point is that you don't get Nevuah if you're sad. So David HaMelech just heard the news about his son being killed is pretty sad. So he's not going to be a Navi. He won't get Nevuah. Get Ruach HaKodesh, but not Nevuah. It's a different darga.
You're sad.
No. Pasha's not. Like they say that, how come Hashem didn't tell Yaakov Avinu that Yosef was still alive? So because Yaakov Avinu was in Avelus for the loss of Yosef for so long, he was always sad, so Hashem didn't speak to him because he didn't get a Nevuah because he was sad. Why didn't he get a Ruach HaKodesh to tell him? I don't know. You have to know the darkest, but...
Just real quick, I think I missed something a long time ago. Why is this Kush Benyamini? I don't have anything like that.
He's
a Benyamini.
Right, so I'll explain it again.
It's from the Gemara.
Our Medrash is bringing this pasuk of Vayemer Yav LaKushi Lech Hagei LaMelech. Right, and then the Medrash asks, was he a Kushi? Valoy Benyamini Haya. Now, where is that assumption coming from that he's Benyamini? So I said that there's a Gemara that brings the pasuk of Shigayon Adavet Hashashar LaHashem Al Divrei Kush Ben Yamini.
Kush Ben
Yamini. And the Gemara says that that's talking about Shaul HaMelech.
Okay, right? Yeah.
So the Marzu wants to say that this Medrash is rejecting that Gemara's pshat, that the pasuk of Kush Ben Yamini is talking about Shaul, and is applying Kush Ben Yamini to our story. So the pasuk of Kush Ben Yamini in Tehillim is talking about our story, and the pasuk of Vayomer Yoav LaKushi Lech Haged LaMelech is also talking about this story.
So it's a Kush was a Benyamin.
Right. So
sure, it doesn't make sense unless you say what you said, that it's meaning he's not from Shevet Benyamin. He's a Kushi.
Right.
But he's right-handed or something.
No. I mean, we're darshaning it to say why is this guy called a Kushi? Because he was outstanding in terms of his good deeds. But so where do we see that this guy was outstanding in terms of his good deeds? Rabbi Eliezer Aymer. Rabbi Eliezer says, Boyere, come and see Yashrusai Vesumosai Shal Isai Ish Sha'alayav. Come and see the Yashrus, the straightness, the Sumosai, and the wholesomeness of that man that told Yoav that Abshalom was caught in the tree. Which the Marzu explains, our Medrash over here is telling us a Chiddush. That guy that told Yoav that he saw Abshalom stuck in the tree, that's the same guy who later on ended up telling David HaMelech that Abshalom was killed. He's the Kushi. It doesn't call him a Kushi in the beginning of the story when he tells Yoav that he saw Abshalom caught in a tree. That doesn't say Kushi, it just says a person. But he's the same guy. And he's the one who ended up actually reporting it. And David, and the Marzu says that David was Chesha, that he's the one who killed him. And we're saying, no, he got a special Ruach HaKadosh. I told him, no, this guy's a good guy. Right? So now the Medrash is saying, how do we know he's a good guy? Come and see. Because it says in the Pasuk, because he said, Im titen elef kesef, if you gave me 1,000 silver pieces, any over al mitzvah samelech asher tzivcha, I will not transgress the commandment of the king that he commanded you. Meaning, when Yoav said, well, you saw him stuck, why don't you kill him? He said, I would never kill him. Shemar, it says the pasuk, V'lo anuchi sheik, v'lu anuchi sheik al kapai elef kesef, halavai, I would measure on my palm 1,000 pieces of silver. I would never transgress the commandment of the king. David HaMelech said, do not kill Abshalom. I will never kill Abshalom. Right? So you see that he was true. He was a Yashrus person. He was a Tamim person. He was stuck to his guns. Right? And he wouldn't want to go against what the king said. Don't kill him. I'm not going to kill him. Amar lo Yoav. So Yoav said to him, Bevakasha mimcha, I request of you, Hareni Oisei Hamokim Shav Shalom Taliboy. Show me that place where Avshalom is hanging. Right? He gave a report. Avshalom is hanging by his hair got caught in a tree. Is hanging by his hair. Show me where it is. Show me where Avshalom is hanging. V'lo kibel alav, and the guy did not accept Yoav's demand. Right? Yoav said, "Show me where he is." He said, "No." Hischel kareya umishtacha v'loy. He began to bow and prostrate himself in front of him. Shinemar, it says in the pasuk, "Vayemer lo Yoav lo ichen oichila lefanecha." I'm not going to beg you anymore. And the shadow is who bowed to whom. Pashtus, it means that Yoav bowed to this guy, the Cushy guy, bowing to him, saying like, "Please, tell me where Avshalom is," like begging him. He went down on his knees, like begging him. But you could also explain, and the Radal says that this is a daichik, but you could say it, that the guy, the Kushi, was going on his knees and bowing in front of Yoav, saying like, you know, please forgive me. You're the head of the army, and you're asking me where is Avshalom, and I'm not telling you where he is. Please forgive me for not telling you. I can't tell you. There's two ways to read it. The next line also, there's two ways to read. V'lakach le'say bizroyoy, and he took him by his hand. The eraloy asamakim shavshalom taliboy, and he showed him the place where Avshalom was hanging. You don't have this kirsa, right?
I said Amar lo Yoav lo chin.
Meaning Yoav said to him, I'm not going to beg you anymore.
Yeah.
And he took him by his hand, by his arm.
Which makes it that Yoav is
after the one. He took him by his arm, and he showed him the place where Avshalom was hanging. Who took who by his arm?
Yoav.
Does it mean... So the Barzil says two pshatim. Either it means that Yoav grabbed this Cushi by his arm and forced him to show him where Avshalom is hanging. Or it means that this guy sort of like held his hand and took him over to where Avshalom is hanging. Like he took him with him. Not sure which pshat. I think the first pshat is better, because we're trying to say how he's such a tamim and a yashar that he would stick to his guns and not do the and always try to do the right thing. So it would make more sense that like, oh, Yoav forced him into revealing where Avshalom is.
And also, because I have the fear, it says Lo Chin.
Oh, Chil Elefanava.
I'm not going to
beg you.
No. Do it now, or I'm going to take you.
Or I'm going to kill you, or something.
Yeah. You know, you say, I said this, do it now. He doesn't do it, you grab him by the arm. And you
force him to do it. Yeah, it could be. Anyone who violates the commandment of honor thy father, it's as if he violated all of the Ten Commandments. You have that, Kirsa? You just have Lefichach, right? So we have a different Kirsa. Anyone who transgresses the commandment of honor thy father, it's as if he transgressed all Ten Commandments. Lefichach, says the Medrash, therefore nidkru boy asara remochim. Therefore, Avshalom was pierced with 10 spears. Shneimar vayisayb asara ni'arim naisei klei Yoav. 10 lads surrounded him. 10 lads were Yoav's weapon bearers, surrounded him, and they, you know, basically stabbed him. And that's how Avshalom was killed. Okay. Later. Says the Medrash. Shisha nidmu lo'adam harishon v'chulon nergu. 6 people were similar to Adam Harishon, meaning they had very different good, very overly. I'm trying to come up with a good word. They had different outstanding qualities that were so similar to Adam Harishon, that they were like, maybe you could sort of call them superhuman in a way, even divine to some extent. We'll see in a moment. Right? And all these people that had these special qualities, they ended up being killed because of those qualities, or through those qualities. The Elohim, here are the 6 people. Shimshon bechoychoy v'nerag bechoychoy. Shimshon was overly strong. He had a special quality of strength, and he was killed with his strength, right? Because in at the end, what he did was he used his strength to make the pillars that were holding up the building come down, and he killed himself. Shaul b'koymosoi. Shaul was especially tall. Right, the pasuk says that when Shaul was appointed the king, it says v'yigba mikol ha'odam mishichma yomala. He was a shoulder above everyone else of the nation. Not necessarily just figuratively, but it means literally he was just taller than everyone else, like Abraham Lincoln, right? All guys, you're just gonna say that. V'nerag b'koymosai, and Shaul was killed because of his height. I mean, through his height. Shaul was killed through his height. How do you figure that? Because in the end, what happened was that Shaul Melch basically committed suicide by putting his sword down and then like falling onto his sword. So he had to cheshbon how far away he would fall from the sword, put his sword over here, and then just like allow himself to fall down onto the sword, and that's how he died.
He said in different measures that he smit him by his neck.
Oh, so the Gemara in Soita, we'll speak about that parallel Gemara, on Daf Chaf. So the parallel Gemara says that Shaul was especially blessed with his neck, and he was killed with his neck, because it says in the Pasuk that his neck fell on the sword. Very good.
It seems like he got killed, he wasn't really suicide, he fell on the sword, but he got wounded very seriously, and then the Amalekid, he finished off the job.
Could be. I was saying, it was a suicide that didn't work out.
So the Amalekid, he finished the job, he did like the Makba Patish.
Yeah, and that's the guy who came to David Melech and told him that Shaul was killed. Right? But that, so we have Shimshon, Shaul. The third one is Asahel ben Merutzasai, Venerek ben Merutzasai. Asahel was one of the generals of Shaul Amalek's army, right? Asahel and Avner ben Ner. And Asahel was very quick at running. He was especially blessed with the ability to run fast. I'm not sure exactly where it says that he was killed because of his running.
No, it seems obvious from the psukim.
That what?
Back then, it was just when the civil war started between David and Ish-bosheth, right?
Yeah.
So it says that Avner and his men decided to attack, you know, David's men, right?
Yeah.
So Yoav, he sent a bunch of his men to front them. And they're like in two valleys, one opposite the other, like two hills.
Yeah.
And Avner said, you know, let the lads come and let them fight like a game. You know, to see who's tougher, yeah?
Yeah.
So Yoav said, Yakumu Yitzachaku, yeah? It says like a group of Yoav's men, a group of Avner's men, they got up. And it says that like 14 of Galilee, but all of them got killed, right? So from there it became like the whole war between two armies. And during that war, David's men, they won, basically. Because,
But what does that have to do with running?
I'm going to get to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Avner's men were defeated soundly, right?
Okay.
Let's say David's men like 20 fell. I don't know. Like Avner's men like 300 almost fell.
Okay.
So he realized that he was losing. So he started running away. And while he was running, Asahel, who was Yoav's brother, he was very light-footed, right? So he said, "I'm gonna get Avner. I'm gonna get rid of him now because he's the one who started this." So he started running after him, running very, very quickly. And Avner realized that Asahel is running after me. He said, "Asahel, stop running after me. I'm going to have to kill you. And then I'm going to have to face your brother Yoav. Please don't force me into this decision. Stop running after me." Asahel continued running after him. So Avner said, "You know, if you want to save your own pride, you can make believe that you're running after someone else. There's other people here also. Run after a different one of my men and kill him. Don't run after me, though, because you're not going to win." And he kept on running. He didn't listen. So Avner turned around and he says that he hit Asahel in the Chomish, right? He took his sword, hit him
in the fifth rib,
and he killed him on the spot.
So right.
You see from there, because he's a quick runner, that's why he did the whole chase.
You say he was running too fast, he wasn't able to slow down.
No, he was able to slow down, but that's the reason why Al-Khatili ran after me. He thought, "Oh, I'm such a quick runner, I'm going to..."
See, that was his downfall, you're saying. Okay.
I'm going to kill him, even though Abdul was strong, he thought, "I'm so quick."
Right.
I'm so quick at running, he's not going to realize what happened. Before he realizes what's happening, I already killed him.
So you have Shimshon with his strength, Shaul with his height or with his neck, Asahel with his speed, Yoshiyahu ben Echirov, Venerag ben Echirov. Yoshiyahu was especially blessed with his good nose, and he was killed with his good nose.
How do you see this?
So what is that? What's that referring to? We'll see. We'll speak about it in a second. Tzidkiyahu be'enav. Tzidkiyahu was blessed with good eyes.
He had night vision.
Tzidkiyahu was blessed with good eyes, and therefore his eyes were blinded. We'll speak about that in a moment. Avshalom besayroi v'nerag besayroi. And Avshalom was blessed with his beautiful, bountiful hair, and he was killed with his hair. Okay, so we have a few things that we have to speak about over here. Okay, Yoshiyahu with his nose. Yeah, so as Rabbi Felder said, the pasuk in Eicha, which is a hespit on Yoshiyahu HaMelech. So the pasuk says, "Ruach apenu Mashiach Hashem." Ruach apenu Mashiach Hashem. The spirit of our nose is the Mashiach Hashem, the anointed one of Hashem. And the Medrash says that's talking about Yoshiyahu HaMelech. That whole parak of Eicha, the Medrash says, is talking about Yoshiyahu. We mentioned this way back when. Remember, I did the whole thing with the Avodah Zarah on the door or whatever, and Yirmiyahu HaMelech made a takana that you're supposed to give Tafka Hespedim about Yoshiyahu. So that's the Hespid on Yoshiyahu HaMelech. So he's called Ruach Apenu, the spirit of our nose, right? The Kerech of our nose. So you see that Yoshiyahu HaMelech is somehow associated with like spirits of noses or whatever, right? Maybe you'll say that it means like he had like a very good looking nose or something like that. Right? The goyim like to say the Jews have like ugly noses. I don't know. Well, the other idea that the Marzu wants to say is that the Gemara says about Mashiach, the Mashiach is merichin udonin. Mashiach has the ability to sniff and to make a judgment. Two litigants will come in front of the Mashiach, the Melech Mashiach, and they'll have a court case, and they'll be able to smell out, sniff out which one is lying and which one is saying the truth.
So the Rambam says they killed Bar Kokhba
because he wasn't able to do it.
Yeah,
so right. Really, so the Shalai, right, Bar Kokhba didn't live up to this. That was a simon that he wasn't really Mashiach, so they get rid of him. Right. So we find a lot of Sfarim talk about this, that Yoshio HaMelech was maybe a bechina of Mashiach ben Yosef, or even though he wasn't from Yosef, he was from David, or it could have been Mashiach ben David himself. He had the ability to like mamish turn back the whole gezerah that the Beit Hamikdash was going to be destroyed. If he would have let Paro pass through his line, you know, that would have been it.
What
do you remember? What parak was that we spoke about this? I don't remember what parak it was, but we spoke about this earlier in the sefer.
He would have taken care of Bubble, and Bubble would have taken care of him, and Evan, then the Mitzrayim and Bubble, and then we're going to the city and rule the world.
Right.
They didn't do the job for him, but so, I can see it today.
So that's the story. That's the story of Yeshua HaMelech. So that's what it means that Yeshua was blessed his nose. What does it mean that he was killed with his nose? I'm not sure exactly what it means. I didn't see the Mepharshim speaking about what it means that he was killed with his nose. Oh, no, the Radal says when a person, we said in the last parak, in parak Nun Beis, in parak Nun Beis we said that just like the neshama comes into a person's body through his nose, so the neshama leaves him through his nose. So that's what it means. He was killed, meaning he was killed because his neshama left him through his nose. That's what we said in the last parak, because it used to be that when a person would sneeze, that's how they would die. Right? They would just come out of their nose. But so that's what it means that Yoshiyahu was blessed with his nose. Tzidkiyahu was blessed with his eyes. Ulekach ivru einav, and therefore his eyes were blinded. Stam, it's a very interesting diuk by all the six people that were talked about. It says they were blessed with this, v'nerag b'this. Right? Tzidkiyahu be'einav, ulekach ivru einav. Why does it say Tzidkiyahu be'einav, v'nerag be'einav? Right. So I wanted to tie that. You were thinking the same thing. Yeah. But what it means is because if a person is blind, so Gemara says that Suma is like he's dead. So Tzidkiyahu, you don't even have to say that he was killed. You just say that he was blinded and he was blessed with eyes and he was blinded, and that's already as if he was already killed. Right. We know the story with Tzidkiyahu that he was running away from Nebuchadnezzar and they caught him and they blinded, they took him to Babel and they knocked out his eyes. Right. They killed his children in front of him, right? And then they blinded him. They knocked out his eyes. Where do we see that Tzidkiyahu was blessed with good eyes? So Rashi in Maseches Shoitas writes explicitly, I do not know where we see that Tzidkiyahu had especially good eyes. But as Rabbi Feller started saying, and the Marsha says this, the Medrash says, and this is interesting because it's a Medrash that Rashi himself brings in Sefer Melachim and in Sefer Yirmiyah and in Sefer Yecheskel. The Medrash says that when Tzidkiyahu was running away from Nebuchadnezzar, so he went in the middle of the night, he went inside a cave.
A tunnel,
cave, whatever.
Because he had night vision.
So obviously he had very good eyes. If you're running away at night in an underground cave, in an underground tunnel, so obviously he had very good vision.
The tunnel was dug under the, I think, Beis HaMikdash.
Right, it goes from the Beis HaMikdash all the way down to Yericho.
In the desert, when he came out of it, then one of the Romans was running after a deer.
Romans?
I'm sorry, the Babylonians.
Babylonians was running after a deer, and that's how they found him.
Yep.
Right. The,
no, I said Romans. I was thinking about the Romans.
Yeah. The Bais HaGadol, the Bais HaGadol says a different pshat. He wants to say stam because the pasuk says v'sene Tzidkiyahu iver, that the eyes of Tzidkiyahu he blinded. So the Bais HaGadol says it's a little bit extraneous. Why does the pasuk say they blinded Tzidkiyahu's eyes? What do you mean they blinded his eyes? Just say they blinded him. Why do you have to say his eyes? We know blinding means that they did something to his eyes. Why do they have to say that they blinded his eyes? It's superfluous, redundant, right? So the Bais HaGadol says that because the Navi focuses something about Tzidkiyahu's eyes, that tells you that there was something praiseworthy beforehand about his eyes, and that we're telling you that he lost that now. So that's what it means. Tzidkiyahu, you see in the pasuk a remnant of this idea that Tzidkiyahu had very good eyes, and then his eyes were blinded. Fine. So that's our medrash gives six people who had these different superhuman qualities, and they were all killed with their qualities, right? Shimshon with his kayach, Shaul with his height, Asal with his speed, Yeshio with his nose, Tzidkiyahu with his eyes, and Avshalom with his hair. That's our medrash. Now I mentioned before there's the Gemara and Saita and Nafchaf. The Gemara Saita says like, Tani, we learned, Chamisha Nivru'u Me'ein Dugma Shel Mala. There were five people who were created somewhat resembling divinity. Right? Meaning, because Adam Rishon was, the Radha says, because Adam Rishon was created in the image of Hashem, more so than any other person, so these people were sort of examples of different qualities of Adam Rishon, so they're sort of in the image of Hashem. So the Gemara lists five. Right? Who are the five? So the Gemara says, Shimshon, Shaul, it doesn't have Asahel, and it doesn't have Yeshiyahu, and then it has Tzidkiyahu and Avshalom, and the fifth one that our Medrash doesn't mention is Asa. Asa was one of the kings of Yehuda, right? It was Rechavam. After Shlomo Melech was Rechavam, Aviam, and then Asa, and then Yehoshaphat. So he was the third king after Shlomo Melech, Asa. So it says in the Pesukim that Asa went to war and he got injured in his feet and he wasn't able to walk. He became lame. Right? So the Gemara says that Asa was blessed with like superhuman feet, and then he got injured in war and he lost it, and then he ended up dying. Right? So that's Asa.
Yeah.
He got a sickness in his feet. Yeah. So that's Asa. So the Gemara takes out Asa and Yeshio and puts in Asa. There's a sefer called Pirkei D'Rabbeinu HaKadosh, which is a sefer that's miyuchas to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and it's a medrash that basically what it does is it goes through different numbers. It has like lists of things for that number. So like in the number by the number six, it gives a list of six people who are like Adam Rishon, like similar to our medrash over here, by number six, and it gives the same list as our medrash, except that over there it also takes out Asohel and Yeshiyahu, doesn't have those two, and instead puts in Asa Biraglov, like the Gemara, and Uziyah b'Mitzchay. Uziyahu, who's also known as Azariyahu, was the king of Yehuda after Amatziah, right, before Yoisam. So Uziyahu was, he was a relatively good king. The only thing is that he did something wrong, that he decided that he wants to do a vayda in the Beis HaMikdash, and he went inside and he got saras on his forehead. And that was a bad thing that he did. But that was like the only bad thing that he did. But the medrash over there is sort of saying that like beforehand his forehead was like extremely good looking or strong or something, and then afterwards his downfall was because of his forehead. Maybe even taking extend what we said before by Tzidkiyahu being blinded, that was already Kilu, he died. So by Uziyahu, he didn't die because of his forehead, but he became a Mitzorah, and the Gemara says that a Mitzorah is also like he's dead.
Yeah, to live in the business, of course, I think it is.
Yeah, his son took over. His son took over.
Right. He didn't actually become the official king until he died when he was judging.
Well, it's yes and no, because there's a Rashi somewhere else that makes like a cheshbon of the years, and it comes out that like the years were like, there's extra years that were attributed to Yosam that were really from Uziyah's.
You know, some say that you don't want to count like Achos too much.
Yeah, there's something like that.
It says in the pasuk that he was shoifet the earth in Divayom.
Yeah.
He was judging the land.
And then in this Pirkei D'Rabbeinu HaKadosh, it adds a seventh person. It says, V'yesh aymrim Zerubbabel b'kailoi. Zerubbabel, who was like the lead, the not the king, but like sort of like the executive chief of the Jews who returned to Eretz Yisrael by the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. So he's Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel b'kailoi, him and his voice. So I'm not sure exactly what that's talking about. I don't have enough information. I don't really know so much about that period to know exactly what it's talking about. But apparently, he had a very nice voice, and something happened to him, and he was killed, or his voice was taken away, or something like that. All right. That's the other list. Fine, right through the Medrash. Says the Medrash, Avshalom, continuing with the story of Avshalom. Avshalom, Avshalom was very strong, a strong warrior in battle. And his sword was attached to his hip. And he was traveling, and his hair got cut and caught in a tree. So why didn't Avshalom just take out his sword and cut his hair from his head and come down from the tree? He's caught because of his hair. So just cut off the hair. You have a sword with you. Use the sword, cut the hair, and come down, and now you're free. Right? So why didn't Avshalom just do that? Says the Medrash, rather, Roa Gehenem Shidivtacha Tachta. Avshalom saw that there was an opening to Gehenim underneath him. And if he would have taken the sword to cut his hair to fall down from the tree, he would have fallen into the depths of Gehenim. Meaning, the Radal says that this is sort of like by Korach, right? They were swallowed, the people, Korach and his people, not the 250 that were with him, but like Korach and his people were swallowed up in the ground, right? Because it was a special avera, that it was a special einish, that they did such a horrible avera that they rebelled against the Moshe Rabbeinu, that they deserved to be swallowed in Gehenim alive. So when Avshalom saw that there's a Pesach, an opening to Gehenim underneath him, that if he would cut down his hair and fall down from the tree, he would fall into this opening of Gehenim, he realized that he's like Korach. Korach rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu and deserve the horrible einish, and I, Avshalom, am rebelling against my father, David Melech. I equally deserve such a horrible einish. And that sort of, he had an epiphany, and he realized that he was doing something wrong, and did tshuva.
And then they killed him.
He's doing tshuva. So he's doing tshuva. Instead of escaping and continuing his rebellion and going to Gehenim instead he decides he's not going to do that. Omar, he said, Mutavli, it's better for me, lihitolos b'sar roishi v'lo lirid ba'ish. It's better for me to be hanging by the hair of my head over here in this tree and not to go down into the fire of Gehenim. L'fichach haya toli bo'ela. That's why he was hanging in a tree. Shemaat says, the pasuk you read there, where you see it's Avshalom toli bo'ela. He was hanging in a, ela is an oak tree. Right? He was hanging in an oak tree. Either, the Radal says that either Avshalom was thinking that, you know, I'd rather be caught over here and let the people from David Melech's army find me and kill me, and then that death will be a kapara for my averas, you know, and I won't lose my chelik in Olam Haba. A. Or B, that they'll catch me and take me down, and they'll bring me down from the tree, and they won't kill me, and they'll bring me in front of my father, and I'll tell them that I'm retracting and I'm chayzer, and then he'll bring me, you know, he'll have pity on me, and then nothing will happen to me. Those are two options that he was hoping would happen. Rabbi Yossi Omer, with this the Medrash finishes. Rabbi Yossi Omer says like this, Shiva Psachim la Gehenim, there's seven gates, there's seven openings to Gehenim, right? There's seven levels of Gehenim. V'nichnas Avshalom ad Chamisha Psachim shel Gehenim. And Avshalom, after he died, he went to the fifth level of Gehenim. V'shama David, and David HaMelech heard, I don't know where he heard this. He had Ruach HaKodesh, he saw some sort of vision, maybe a Navi told him. But David Melech heard that Avshalom, his son, is in the fifth level of Gehenim. 5 out of 7. And David Melech began to wail and to eulogize Avshalom. He called out about Avshalom. Chamisha Palam in Bini Bini. He said 5 times about Avshalom, my son. Shinemar says in the pasuk, "Vayigas a melech v'yal aliyas asar." He went up, aliyas asar. Sorry, and he said, "Bini Avshalom, bini bini, my son Avshalom, my son, my son." The pasuk continues and says, "Mi tein musi ani tachtecha." Halavai, I should have died instead of you. Why did you have to die? Why couldn't I have died? Avshalom, bini bini, my Avshalom, my son, my son. Right. So it says 5 times in the pasuk that he said bini about Avshalom. And connected that, v'chzirei mechamisha psachim. Hashem returned him from those five gates to Gehenna. So each time David HaMelech said about Avshalom Bini, he was taken out of one level of Gehenna and he got out of Gehenna. V'ra'a David shenitzal mechamisha psachim. David HaMelech saw that Avshalom was saved from the five levels of Gehenna. V'hischa mehalal u'mishabeach li'yitzrei, and he began to praise and to sing the glory of his creator, of Hashem, and thank Hashem. V'amar, and he said, Aseimi ois l'tayva, you did a sign for good to me. V'yiru soinai v'yevayshu, and my enemies saw it, and they dried up. Kiata Hashem azartani v'nichamtani, because you, Hashem, have helped me, and you consoled me. So as the Marzu explains, in what sort of context could it be that Hashem would, on the one hand, help him, which would mean that he's matzliach in something, he's successful, but on the other hand, he needs consolation, and Hashem also consoles him in the same thing. So the Medrash says, Azartani mimulchemes Avshalom, you helped me in the war with Avshalom, that David HaMelech ended up winning the war and defeating Avshalom's army and Avshalom's people. V'nichamtani, and you consoled me in the same story. You also consoled me al evli on my mourning, that I was mourning my son, the loss of my son Avshalom. Hashem consoled me by helping me take Avshalom out of Gehenna. So that's David HaMelech saying thank you to Hashem for helping Avshalom get out. One more point: the Gemara says in Soita over there, it says that Avshalom, that David HaMelech said 8 times. He said Bini about Avshalom, not 7, not 5 times like the Medrash over here, but the Gemara Darshan's Pesukim to say that David HaMelech said 8 times Bini. Right? So Rav Chaim Falachi in Par Echad, he says there's a slight machlekes over here between the Gemara and our Medrash over here. There's a Gemara Meseches Sanhedrin in the last parak. The Gemara over there has an opinion. Rav Meir says that Avshalom doesn't have a chelik in Olam Haba. Right? Now, our Gemara says since David HaMelech said Bini 8 times, so it took him out of all 7 maduras of Gehenna, all 7 levels of Gehenna. But our Medrash over here says that he only said it 5 times. So that would be mashma that he was left in like the second level of Gehenna, and he does ein lechelak olam haba. But the Gemara says that he left all 7 maduras Gehenna and he went to Gan Eden. And our Medrash seems to say that no, he only left 5 maduras of Gehenna, and that means that he's left in Gehenna. So Rav Chaim Falachi says that our Medrash holds like Rabbi Meir that Avshalom ein lechelak olam haba. But the Gemara learns that no, yesh lechelak olam haba, and he's even in Gan Eden. Okay, that's Rav Chaim Falachi's trial. A little bit difficult because the Medrash didn't. The Medrash starts off saying he only went in 5 levels of Gehenna, and then David HaMelech said 5 binis and took him out of 5. It's like, where are you coming from that there's like 2 levels left and he's in Chalik Lam Haba, Adraba. He only went in 5 and then he lost those 5 levels of Gehenna because of David HaMelech, and now he's not in Gehenna Mechal. So, not sure. But if you don't say like what you're saying, now it's a shtickle difficult. How do you understand the difference between the Gemara that says that David HaMelech said Bini 8 times and an arm edge that says he said it 5 times. Okay. We'll stop here. Shkoyach for coming. Thank you.